And the passage read, our lesson will still be centered around that passage of 2 Kings chapter 7. And last week we gave title to the lesson, The Blessings, The Demand and the Responsibility of God's Good News. The Blessing that knowing, having, being exposed to God's good news carries the blessing, but also the demand and the responsibility which it places upon us. In last week's lesson, surround the passage of 2 Kings chapter 6 and 7. We look on the fact that at that time, about 850 years before Jesus Christ, the Syrian kingdom or the Syrian nation dominated or had dominance over God's people, the Israelites. Among the things that confront the Israelites at this time under consideration was the fact that at the very time the Almighty God sent a terrible famine on Samaria, sort of the capital of the half of Israel that was known as Israel, because at this time the kingdom was divided. So at the very time Samaria was experiencing famine, the Syrians besieged the city of Samaria. It was dire and desperate. The Syrians, in making their plans and calculation, the Syrian with confidence and certainty had left the Almighty God out of their calculation and out of the equation. That's never good, neither for them nor for us. And in so many cases, yes, I'm talking about those of us who come to church and what, the Almighty God is not a part of, when we put things together and calculate, I want this to work out this way, and I'm going to do this so that this work out that way. In so many cases, God is not part of our plan. That's not good. We're not even mindful of the Almighty God. We find this in verse 24 through 31. I was about to say, let us hear a little. I'm going to try to make sure that what is prepared for the lesson today is shared. Yes, I am on the point that in planning to besiege Israel, God's people, the Syrian excluded, did not include God in their calculation and in the equation. Let us hear verse 24 following.
And it came to pass after this, that Ben-Hadad,
that is the king of Syria,
gathered all his hosts.
Gathered all his hosts.
And went up and besieged Samaria.
Besieged Samaria. Right about the time that Samaria was experiencing drought. The besiege involved the entire Syrian army with soldiers and chariots around the city of Samaria. Nobody could get out. Nobody could get in. Read, brother.
And there was a great famine in Samaria.
No. You talk about between a rock and a hard place. This is what Samaria was experiencing.
And behold, they besieged it.
They besieged the city.
Until an ass's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver. And the
Wait, brother. Somebody didn't hear that. The head of an ass. A donkey. Was sold for?
80 pieces of silver.
Uh-huh.
And the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung. For 5 pieces of silver.
That was terrible time. Terrible time. What verse is that, brother?
25.
Read a little further, no?
And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall.
Watch here now. As the king of Israel. Remember, in those days, walls were large so that chariots could run on the wall. A wall probably sometime as wide as this building, which is about 40 feet. A wall so that chariots could go. The king could walk on the wall because when he did that, it gave him a view of the entire city. And as the king was walking on the wall, watch here.
There cried a woman.
Saying,
help my lord, O king.
Help my lord, the king. In other words, the woman was crying to the king of Israel for help. Remember, at this time there was famine and the city was besieged. Read.
And he said,
the king replied to the woman called for help.
If the Lord do not help thee.
If God has not come to your aid.
When shall I help thee?
Oh, am I going to help you?
Out of the barn floor?
Wait. You notice what the king is expressing here? Hopelessness. Helplessness. Where you are crying for if he help you for, if God no help you? That's right. Read on.
Or out of the wine press.
Uh-huh.
And the king said unto her.
And the king said to her.
What aileth thee?
In other words, the king first expressed the hopeless and helplessness. Being king, one would thought that he was in the position to help. But he was also helpless. But then he turned to and said, why did you really call to me for help? What specifically is your need? Listen.
And the woman said unto me, give thy son that we may eat him.
Wait, she's relating that she had an issue. She was seeking justice from the king. She said,
give thy son.
I have a child. My neighbor had a child. But things are so desperate that we, the two mothers, came together and decided that in order to survive, we will eat the two children. The decision was that we eat my child today. Cook him up. and eat him. Now this is not, you know. And then tomorrow, we will eat my neighbor's child. Read, brother.
Give thy son that we may eat him today. And we will eat my son tomorrow.
Read on.
So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her,
isn't that terrible, brothers and sisters? There are certain experiences that you and I have never had. Jamaica has never been in a famine. Thank God. Bad as things might have been, terrible as the experience of different one of us might be, we can usually search around or beg around and find something to eat. But this was terrible time. After they had eaten this woman's child, and tomorrow came for the other woman to kill her child, for them to have a meal of the child. The other woman hides to him picnic. You know, at that time Columbus did not discover Jamaica, because I would say that must have been a Jamaican, that second mother. That's right. Read on, brother.
And she had hid her son. And it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the woman, that he rent his clothes.
Watch here now. Read.
And he passed by upon the wall. And the people looked. And behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh.
Read.
Then he said, God, do so and more also to me, if the head of Elisha the son of Shaphat shall stand upon him.
Do you understand that? When the king of Israel heard of the plight of the two women, he was looking somebody to blame. And as usual, you know who got the blame? The prophet of God. God's spokesman. He was blaming Elisha for the famine. Elisha had nothing to do with it other than telling them sometime before that there would be a famine. In fact, the time he told them, they did not believe in either. So this was the time. As I said, ladies and gentlemen, it was not only the Syrian who excluded God from their calculation, but so was the king of Israel and those who serve him at the court. They did not believe in God. Listen to one of the courtiers, one of those honorable men who served the king. Look at chapter 1, chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. What I'm establishing here is, watch here, you can understand when the Gentile nation left God out of the calculation. But when God's people, the king of Israel, and those who serve him also had no belief in God, then it was terrible. You can see why famine came upon them. Read, brother, chapter 7, verse 1 and 2.
Then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord.
Not my word. Wait. We too today must learn to look beyond the agent. In so many cases, God sends you truth, message, that you need to take seriously. And a lot of time, you act as if it is the brother who preaches it or teach it. No. Be careful. Read, brother.
Hear ye the word of the Lord.
Hear ye the word of the Lord.
Thus saith the Lord.
This is what God says.
Tomorrow, about this time, shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel.
Wait. What this is saying is that tomorrow, good time going to come. That's what that is saying. In other words, what we are experiencing now, famine and needs and desperation, by tomorrow, things will change. Notice how one of the courtiers responded. That is, this courtier on whom the king leaned. He was a close advisor to the king. Notice how he responded.
Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?
In other words, if God makes some windows, big windows in heaven and pour out manna and whatever, what you are saying is not possible, Elisha. Notice now, I'm taking up a little time here that I didn't plan to take with this. But you know, when you know God's truth, there are consequences. Brother.
And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thy eyes.
Elisha responding to this doubter. So this Israelite who advised the king, who did not believe in the word of God or who did not take it seriously. Elisha responded to him and said, in effect, you doubt what I said? That God will send good time by tomorrow? Elisha said, you will see, but you will not benefit from it. Read, brother.
Thou shalt see it with thine eyes,
but
shalt not eat thereof. And there, verse 3, and there were 4 leprous men.
Stop there now. We have just gotten to where we want to get, the lepers. Brother Mitchell, what happened to that daughter? At this point in the left, we will not say more other than the fact that, because I may finish the entire lesson and don't get back to him, he died. The very day that these lepers brought good news and what, that they are food and gold and sheep and what, the man who doubted died. Brothers and sisters, let me repeat something here. And wise and foolish to leave God out of our plans. We, as God's people, and if you're here as a visitor, make a decision today to include God in whatever your plans are. The wise man was wise when he said in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 5 through 7. Let us hear it. Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 5 through 7.
Trust in the Lord.
Trust in the Lord.
With all thine heart.
With all your heart.
And lean not on thine own
understanding. Don't depend on your wisdom. However wise you think you are. trust in God. Read on.
In all thy ways, acknowledge Him.
In whatever you are doing, make sure that God is part of that calculation. In all your ways, acknowledge God.
And He shall direct thy path.
Don't we need God's direction? The wise man is telling you how to get it when you truly depend and look to God.
Be not wise in thine own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Fear the Lord
mm-hmm.
and depart from evil.
Mm-hmm.
It shall be health to thy navel
mm-hmm.
and marrow to thy bones.
You may stop there. So, in all thy ways, acknowledge God. Don't go through life making plans and think that you are so experienced, you are so wise, you are so educated, you are so exposed, that you can leave God out and really succeed. The Syrian felt certain that Samaria days were numbered. The king and the people of Samaria were in dire hopelessness. But ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, the Almighty God sometimes bring confusion. What did you say, Brother Mitchell? Sometimes the Almighty God brings confusion into the plan and the counsel of the wicked and of the ungodly. And the Almighty God is about to do that to the Syrians. Confusion. Psalms 129, verse 4 and 5 says, and another brother turned to the book of 1 Corinthians 1:27-29. Let us hear the passages. 129, verse 4 and 5.
The Lord is righteous.
The Lord is righteous.
He hath cut asunder the cords of the wicked.
God cut in two
the cords of the wicked.
The cords of the wicked.
Let them all be confounded.
Let them all be confounded.
And turn back that hate Zion.
And turn back. That's verse 4 and 5.
Yes.
1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27 through 29. We are on the point that God sometimes brings confusion into the counsel and the planning of the wicked and the ungodly. So, Christian, learn always to make God a part of your plan. We have just read an Old Testament passage to the effect of that truth. Let us hear a New Testament passage. The brother is reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27 through 29.
But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise.
Somebody didn't hear that, sorry.
But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, when the Almighty God chooses any means or method or item as a part of His wise plan, don't ever laugh at it, don't ever criticize it, don't ever look down on it. Because the Almighty God will use that very thing that you laugh at, look down on, to confound you, to confuse you. Read it again.
But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world.
It's not that the things under consideration is really foolish, but that the world look on it as foolish. Read on.
To confound the wise.
Read on.
And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty.
Read on.
And base things of the world,
mm-hmm.
and things which are despised,
uh-huh.
hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not,
uh-huh.
to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence.
You hear that? Men must never try to exalt themselves over God and his plan and purpose. Never think that what you think, how you see things, will work better than how God has said it to be. We have a lot of that in Christianity. The Almighty God said it that a man must hear the gospel, believe it, repent, confess, and be baptized in order to be saved. God set that as his plan of salvation. That's a must. Men and women must believe, must repent, must confess Christ, and get this, you must be baptized. And the word baptism means you are buried under water. So if you are here tonight, morning, and you were misled, wrongly led in having little water sprinkled on your head, and you have been thinking that you were baptized, God has sent you here this morning to learn that that's not baptism. Wait, whoever came up with that, you know what they are doing? They are pushing God's mold of baptism one side, because they believe their sprinkling is wiser than God immersion. The Almighty God is going to use immersion to confound them. That's right. God doesn't want any man or woman to ever think that you are wiser than God. May I? Notice now, verse 5 through 7, chapter 7 of the book of Kings, 2 Kings.
And they arose up in the twilight.
That is, the four lepers. They got up in the twilight.
To go unto the camp of the Syrians.
To go to the camp of the Syrians.
And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there.
May I? It's the dilemma that they found themselves in. These lepers were Israelites. They had death sentence place upon them. When you had leprosy then, it was like a death sentence. You are going to die. In fact, we are coming to a point where they actually said that. So, they decided after thinking that, you know, their best bet, if they remain where they were, they are going to die. If they did this, they are going to die. Watch here now. If we go to the camp of the Syrians, we are going to die because they are going to recognize that we are Israelites and they are going to kill us. But anyway, probably that's our best bet. Let us, because food is over there anyway. So let us try there. But when they reach the Syrian camp, watch here, the Syrian rounded Samaria, and these men belong to Samaria. But they know that wherever the Syrian army was, food was there. So they got up now, having found themselves in this dilemma, to go over to the Syrian. Read, brother.
And they went and they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria.
Came to the utmost part of the camp.
Behold, there was no man there.
There was nobody there. They were looking to find thousands of soldiers. Read.
For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots.
You know, brothers and sisters, you can put in context now what I had said previously, that God has his own way of confusing the ungodly. God is doing that today. That's why I'm begging Christians not to exclude God from your plan. And I'm begging God's people never to think that you're wiser than the word of God and God's directive. How come there were no Syrians there? The Almighty God caused it. Caused a noise. When the thousands of Syrian chariots and soldiers heard the noise, they thought that the Israelites had formed an alliance with the Egyptian and the Hittites. As two other Gentile nations, but those two nations, they were powerful. Not as powerful as the Syrian at that time. But when the giant army together, they became powerful. So the Syrian, when they heard the great noise, well, it's right there, brother.
And the host, the Lord had made the host of Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another.
The Syrian soldiers, leaders, generals said one to another.
Lo, the king of Israel,
has
hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egypt.
You notice the kings are pluralized. The king of Israel formed an alliance with the Egyptian and the Hittites
to come upon us.
No, brothers and sisters, no Syrian king. That's not what happened. The Almighty God was creating confusion in your camp. That's what happened. That comes these men who were sentenced to death because of the disease they had, found no Syrian soldiers there. The Syrian soldiers, thousands upon thousands, ran for their life. The wicked flee when no man persuade. Confusion. It is from this very confounding and confusing of the wicked and the unbelieving Syrian that the Almighty God is about to provide, for Israel some good news. Israel needed some good news. That's right. And out of this besiege that Israel was experiencing, out of this famine that Israel was experiencing, they were desperate to get some good news. And God is about to provide that good news, to provide hope for his people. Wait here. The Almighty God is also about to use the most unlikely means. Are we all there? The most unlikely instrument to save the city of Samaria. I grew up hearing that God worked in mysterious ways to perform his wonders. I grew up hearing that. If there was ever a time when that was true, it is out of all that Israel was experiencing, out of the might yet now confusion of the fleeing Syrian army, the Almighty God is about. The Almighty God is about to use. I need your attention. I haven't forgotten my point. The Almighty God is about to use these most despised. Are we all there? Rejected. Are we all there? Hopeless. Are we all there? Pain. Stricken. Lepers. To save the city of Samaria and to carry out God's purpose. Leprosy was a painful disease. It was a disease which caused people to ostracize you. You were cut off. And it's a disease that you were sort of waiting for death to come. These are the people that the Almighty God is going to use to save the city of Samaria. Haven't I been told in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7 that the Almighty God has placed this treasure where? In earthen vessel. That's right. What is the treasure? The gospel. It's not placed in the mind of angel. It's placed in the hands, in the minds of frail human beings like you and me. Just like the Almighty God is about to use these lepers to bring hope to the Israelite people. God is about to use these four lepers as instruments of His deliverance, bringing good news and hope, and to teach you and me a great lesson. Haven't I been told in the book of Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 that whatsoever things help me here were written aforetime, they were written for our learning. When the Almighty God inspired the inspired writer to write 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 8, 9 and following. When the Almighty God inspired his writer to write that the Almighty God was that we would get the lesson that is in it for us. Are we all there? Ladies and gentlemen, notice their dilemma. Notice their rational thinking. Let us look at it in verse 4 and 5. 2 Kings.
If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city.
Wait. It's important that... May I? This is brought. I don't charge you for this. When you are making important decision, it's important that sometimes you get by yourself and think it out. Huh? No, truly. And get in the habit of praying over your decision. Huh? Very important. Don't ever, why your experience, your education, your exposure, and all of that, it's good. It plays a very important part. I'd rather 1,000 times to deal with an experienced person than an inexperienced one. Truly. But don't depend on that solely. These men were thoughtful men, even though they were dying of leprosy. They were rational. They did not just give way to their feeling and emotion. Let me hear, did I say verse 4 and 5?
If we say we will enter into the city. Then the city is in. Then the famine is in the city.
We shall die there. If we say we are going back into Samaria, famine is there. No food there. Read.
And if we sit still here, we die also.
You get the point? If we remain here, just stay and do nothing, we are going to also die. Read.
Now, therefore, come, and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians.
In other words, let us go there and die there. We are going to die, you know. Of course, their leprosy is one of the main considerations. They were sick. No cure for the disease. So they say, notice, the truth, the lesser of the three evils. You know why? At least, probably before they die in Syria, they'll get some food to eat. That's right. Read that.
And let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live.
If they save us alive, we shall live.
And if they kill us, we shall but die.
That's right. We're going to die anyway. So if they kill us, what's the big thing?
And they rose up in the twilight.
Watch here. May I, brothers and sisters? What you have here? We have rational thinking. Are we there? They considered the dilemma that confront them. They rationalize. They think wisely. May I? And you know what? They made a resolution. But what you must notice is that in this verse, resolution, they are not, you know, we make resolution daily, momently. May I beg you, act upon your resolution. These men are saying, we need to do something about our situation. No, we cannot just stand. That's right. We have to do something about our situation. Gosh, they were dying men. Huh? So they, you know what? They got up.
In the twilight. To go unto the camp of the Syrians.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were come to...
Wait, brother. It's important. We're going now to their second resolution. Very important. But in this one, let us act. Let us do something. Let us not remain still. You remember the unjust servant that Jesus Christ told us about? When he got word that his master going to fire him? Huh? He did not just stay still. He decided, this is what I am going to do. Huh? Do you remember the widow who came, who had a situation and came to the unjust judge? She did something. In other words, she did not stop worrying the unjust judge until the judge acted. You remember that? Do you remember the prodigal son who was in the hog pen? The hog pen stands for sin. When he realized where he was, he said to himself, look where I am. And the servant in my daddy's house have more than they can to eat. He said, I will arise and I will go to my father. What is the point, Brother Mitchell? Don't accept any bad situation in which you find yourself. With God's help, do something. These lepers are about to make a move.
Now, there. If we say we shall end, if they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, but we shall but die.
Step down, Brother Webb, to verse 8.
And when these lepers came to the uttermost
part of the camp.
May I now? They came now to the camp of the Syrians. They are about to think again and make another resolution. Read. The brother is reading verse 8 and 9.
They went into one tent.
Uh-huh.
And did eat and drink.
Uh-huh.
And carried then silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it.
Okay. They found wealth. They found wealth. You know what? It was God provided wealth. Listen, read, brother.
And came again and entered into another tent.
Mm-hmm.
And carried thence also and went and hid it.
They again found everything they went to find food and gold and silver. And they keep storing it up for themselves. Read, brother.
Then they said one to another. We do not well.
Stop, dear brother. Do you notice what brought them to this wise conclusion that they weren't doing the right thing? It was their selfish good fortune that they came upon. This is where the lesson for us is really meaningful. We do not well. What is it? They make up on food and gold and silver and other wealth. They were hiding it for themselves. Watch it. They were selfish with it. They came to the acknowledgement that to be selfish with this type of blessing is not a good thing. We do not well. Read, brother.
This day is a day of good tidings.
Wait. That means good news. Huh? This day is a day of good news, good tidings.
And we hold our peace.
And we did what?
Hold our peace.
The way back, ask you to help me preach. What does that mean? We keep quiet with good news? You're not sharing God's good news provided for you by God? But they come to another thing that sometimes we are blind to. That is, when we do not use God provided for us to benefit from and others to benefit from, when we fail to share it, read.
If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us.
Wait. It's not only if we keep it permanently for ourselves, that terrible thing will happen to us. If we are tardy in sharing it, if we tarry till midnight, mean if we don't take step to immediately share this good news. We have had lessons over the past few weeks over the fruitless fig tree. Why does it come by the ground? Why is it taking mineral and whatever from the ground and blessing sunshine, and it is not producing anything? It's the same concept here. Good news has come to us today, and we hold our peace. Brothers and sisters, the good news of Jesus' gospel was never meant to be hidden. We are Jesus' litiand. Are we there? Jesus Christ said, we were never lit to be put under a bushel. That is to be hidden. We were lit so that we can light others. We can shine the light of the gospel on others. That is a responsibility. You notice again. These men who were sentenced to death, they came to truth. They had a conviction that we need to learn from. Good news from God cannot, must not be kept selfishly and be kept hidden. Good news from God carries responsibility both for the person who possesses that good news and for the person who hears that good news. Are we all there? Are we all there? Look at verse 9 again.
Then they said one to another, we do not work. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace.
We cannot, we ought not to hold our peace. Look at verse 11.
And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within.
You notice, they did not only make resolution again, you know. But you know what? They acted upon their resolution. Remember, in verse 9, they said, good tidings have come to us today, and we hold our peace. But they didn't stop there. They realized that they needed to act. So they make a resolution that they are going to take the good news to where it was so needed. And that was in the city of Samaria. They went to the gate, and they told the good news. Brothers and sisters, we must not hold the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Something is wrong with our conversion, with our conviction. Something is wrong with our relationship with Jesus Christ. If there is no desire in us to share Jesus' good news. That's right. If you are a brother or a sister, if you are a man or a woman who tell yourself and convince yourself that you are a Christian, but you come to church every week or whenever, you go home, you go to your work, you do this, but you have no desire to seek out people to give them a track. You are not alert to people that you can pinpoint, that you can invite to church or give them. That's not your concern. You feel content and satisfied that you attend church once ever so often, once a week or twice a month, whatever the situation, and you feel content with that. Nothing in you make you feel bothered that you do not lead anybody to Christ, you do not share the gospel, you do not arrange for somebody to teach them, you do not take a few tracts and keep them with you to give. Something is wrong with your conversion, your conviction, your relationship with Christ, if you are such a person. That's right. Because the gospel, wait. Good news by its very nature makes you want to share it. Truly. Yeah, there are some good news you don't want to tell a lot of people. But you have to find somebody to tell. Your grandfather may leave you $10 million. Wait. You know the more people you tell, the more they're going to come for a barrel. So you tell yourself, I have to be careful. But the news is so good, you have to find somebody to share it with. Good news is like that. You can't keep. And if the gospel of Christ, that Jesus Christ died for men's sin, and that Christ has a plan to get sins removed and forgiven. If you don't have any conviction to seek out ways and means to share that something is wrong with your conviction. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, the great apostle Paul said, Jesus Christ has come into the world to save. You have never heard that passage? Well, let us hear it, brother.
This is a faithful
saying.
And worthy of all acceptation.
It is worthy that all men and women can accept it. What is the saying?
That
Jesus Christ
came into the world.
Came into the world
to save sinners.
To save sinners.
Of whom I am chief.
Paul says, I am the chief of them. I am a top ranking sinner, and Jesus Christ saved me. Just tell men how you were saved and why you are a Christian. You have that message. In the book of Romans chapter 1, verse 14 through 17, Paul says, I am ready to preach the gospel to them that are in Rome also. Read, brother.
Verse 14, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians.
Uh-huh.
Both to the wise and to the unwise.
We are also debtors.
So
wait. What does that mean? It means that whoever come our way or whose way we go, we should seek out ways where we can tell them of their need for Christ and Christ's plan of salvation. I mean God, every one of us. Paul didn't finish, brother.
So as much as in me is.
You hear that, brother? As much as I am able.
I am ready.
I am ready
to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also.
Why?
For I am not ashamed.
I am not ashamed. You see, that's the problem with so many of us. We are too shy. We are ashamed. We are timid. We lack confidence. I am not ashamed of the gospel
of Christ.
For
it is the power of God.
It is God's power
of God.
Of God.
Unto salvation.
Unto salvation.
To everyone that believeth.
To everyone that believeth.
To the Jew first, and also to the Greek.
But watch verse 17.
For therein.
Therein.
Is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith.
Wait. It's important that you get what that means. Therein, in the gospel, is God's righteousness revealed. Brother Mitchell, what does that mean? In the gospel is revealed the way God is making men and women righteous. In the gospel. In God's good news. God is telling men and women how they are going to be saved. We need to have conviction that the lepers had. Good news. Something wrong with that. I am wrapping up. As I've said, genuinely good news cannot be kept or selfishly. Let me just give you one or two illustrations from the Bible and where to. One illustration is the woman at the well. Listen carefully. Here is a woman who was to some extent a Gentile. That's right. You see, what we have not gotten into and wouldn't have time to get into, that we read about Samaria in the lesson, but not long after this, Samaria became populated with mixed nations. And it is from that time it was mostly populated by Gentile and mixed Jew. So when Jesus Christ came along and found this woman, quick, brother. Quick. Verse 16 through 18. Quick. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4.
And the woman said unto him,
mm-hmm.
Sir, give me this water.
That I thirst not.
Neither come hither to draw.
That I may not have to come. Give me the water. Once I drink it, me not have to come to the well every day or every other day.
Jesus said unto her,
Go
call thy husband.
Go call thy husband.
That's 16.
That's right, brother. Go call thy husband. What she said.
The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said.
Wait, what Christ meant here? You are lying, but you are telling the truth. Because, you know what, lady? I know that already you have had 5 husbands. That's a lot. And the man that you now have is not your husband. That may mean that she's living with a man to whom she's not married, or she's having somebody else's husband. Read, brother.
Thou hast well said, I have no husband.
Mm-hmm.
For thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thy husband. In that, saidest thou truly.
That's right. Step down to verse 27. We're talking about sharing good news. Read.
And upon this came his...
As Jesus Christ continued to converse with the woman, Jesus' disciple who had left came back.
From this came his disciples and marveled.
Marveled?
That he talked with the woman. Yet no man said.
They surprised that he's here conversing. They think Christ was courting. That he's talking to the woman. But they didn't say to Jesus Christ, read, brother.
Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city.
Well, I want you to notice now. Jesus Christ had told the woman to go and call her husband. She didn't obey Christ. But Brother Mitchell, she left her water pot and went into the city, not to carry out Christ's command. Notice, when she left her water pot and went into the city, she didn't go to call her husband. She went to the men of the city. Am I right, brother?
And say to the men, come.
You know, brother Webb, I wonder why she go to the men. She didn't go to the women. You'd expect she would go in the city and... But you know what? She had good news to tell. Said, brother. Come.
See a man which told me all things that I ever did.
Y'all are there? Come. See a man who told me everything that I have done.
Is not this the Christ?
Is that this the Christ? She did not tell her story about her life. She told her experience with Jesus Christ. That's the good news. Now, as we have noticed, She did not call her husbands either. She called the men of the city. And probably she was wise. And she called the women. They would probably want to hear her story. Honey, child, how were you so successful to have had five? And I've been searching for one and can't find him. The women would want her life story. She was not interested in telling her life story. She was interested in telling her experience with Jesus Christ. That was worth telling for her. And it should be worth telling for us. That's right. Not only that, when we look, you know, we see where Philip got in touch with the good news of Jesus Christ. You know what Philip did? He called his brother. Andrew got in touch with Christ's good news. You know what he did? He called Peter. In other words, every time you meet men and women in the Bible who came upon the good news of what Jesus Christ meant, they felt like the lepers that they couldn't keep it to themselves. So in closing, I remind you, something is wrong with our conversion, our Christianity, our conviction, and our relationship with God. If we feel that we can come to church, we feel content, there is no compulsion in you to share with somebody, give somebody a tract, arrange for somebody to be taught, invite them to church, something is wrong. The leper says, in effect, we cannot keep our peace when we have good news. We cannot keep our peace. As we close, remember, brothers and sisters, there are some bad news from God. When the Almighty God said that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal. Well, I start with the first part. The wages of sin is death. That's bad news. That's bad news. When the Almighty God said in the same book of Romans, I've just quoted from chapter 6 and verse 23. But chapter 3 and verse 23. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is additional bad news. But the Bible also said in the book of 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 and 9 that Jesus Christ will be coming back to punish sin. To men and women who do not obey the gospel. Now that is terrible bad news. But thanks be to God, there is good news. From the Almighty God, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. For in it is the power of God revealed, or the righteousness of God from faith to faith. I have some other good news from Jesus Christ. From 1 Corinthians 15 verse 1 following. That passage tells us that we are saved by the gospel. And that's why Christians need to find ways and pray to God to help you. To have the conviction, the boldness, and the confidence to share God's good news. The passage tells us in Corinthians that we are saved by the gospel. Today, good tidings have come our way and we keep our peace The lepers are saying that is a contradiction. You cannot have God good news and keep silent if you are a functioning, healthy Christian. Something about your conscience going to worry you. The lepers could not keep silent with God good news. Will you? As we stand and sing. 227 is the invitation song.